Chapter 21. Enzo drove through the tiny settlements of Créal and Kerrigan, heading directly south into the deepening gloom, descending at last into a copse of tall Scots pines where a parking area had been hacked out of the mud and stone. When he turned out his lights, everything around him seemed plunged into darkness. He decided to wait for a moment until his eyes had grown accustomed to it, so he sat clutching the wheel in front of him, his thoughts still dominated by Charlotte's news and her parting remark. If she had meant it to haunt him, it had. Now, for the first time, his focus shifted, and he began to feel apprehensive. He reached into the glove compartment to take out Jane's flashlight and flick it on as he stepped from the jeep. The bitter cold caused the skin on his face to tighten as it made contact. The stink of damp, rotting vegetation assailed his olfactory senses, and in the far distance he heard the roar of the sea driven against the cliffs by the tide. Killian's scarf was tied around his neck, his jacket buttoned over it, and he wore a thick pair of woolen gloves. Even so, the cold was already penetrating his outer layers, and he could feel his body temperature dipping. He aimed his flashlight around the car park to pick out a track leading up through a tangle of gorse and bramble to the coastal footpath that led toward the clifftops. There was no other vehicle visible, and he knew with unerring certainty now that he was allowing himself to be lured into a trap with eyes wide open. If he were to be sensible about it, he would get into his car and drive back to resume his conversation with Charlotte. But he knew that to date he had made no progress at all toward knowing who had murdered Killian, and that this might provide the only fingerhold he had on the case. He pulled up his collar and headed quickly up the footpath, following it around to his right until the trees opened out into a wide area of rock and grass. It joined a gravel road leading to a wooden gate, which was closed but not locked. A sign warned that no vehicles were allowed beyond this point. There was more light here, the last of it dying in the west as the moon began its steady ascent into the November sky, and he found he could see without his flashlight. He passed through the gate and strode purposefully along the mud track toward the top of the cliffs. He could see light shimmering on the ruffled surface of the ocean beyond, and he heard the growl of it as it beat itself against the rocks 100 feet below. The southern elevation of the island opened out all around him, and he could see, off to his right, a black slash where the ground fell sharply away into a deep cleft. Now he heard a sound like wind blowing through trees, and a deep sigh as of phlegm crackling in a constricted throat. Strangely human, and yet oddly unnatural out here on the cliff tops. He saw a sign and turned his flashlight on it, a warning to take extreme care. Here, a father and 2 children had recently lost their lives, it said. Incongruously, there were 3 holes in the metal panneau, made by what looked like pellets from a shotgun. It wasn't only the cliffs that posed a danger, then. Rope was pegged along the line of the trou, about 6 inches off the ground, creating a safe passage toward the distant gun emplacement out on the point, but it looked more to Enzo like a tripwire than a safety measure. Signs everywhere warned not to step beyond it.